It has also been my delight to be here with you today and to get to fellowship with you and share what God's doing. So thank you for welcoming me and all the encouragement that you are as well while I'm here, and also just year-round as you continue to support this ministry. I'm really thankful to have supporting churches like you that are participating in this ministry. So I am looking forward to this time when I get to share a little bit more about the ministry of Bibles International, and particularly tonight to try to give a kind of a big picture of what does it take to get the scripture in the hands of people. I think we all are very easily agreed that that's important, that people should have the word of God. And I put up there, even as a reminder of this, the verse in Romans that talks about faith comes by hearing the word of God, and how will they hear unless someone is sent? And so we think of these verses and the importance of missions and those going out and preaching and sharing the word of God, but how important it is for there to be words of God in a language they can understand that are being preached and shared with them. And so we want to think about how important it is to provide the word, but then actually, how does that happen? What does it take to do that? And so that's kind of the question, the idea of this presentation of the overall ministry of Bibles International. Not just my part, but kind of what we are all doing together, is to think about what does it take for that to happen. And so I'm hoping, actually, that this will fill in some gaps and answer some questions for you about what it's like to have a ministry like Bibles International, how it works together. I'm guessing probably it'll create a lot of other questions, too, and that's fine. I'm happy to talk with you and try to answer questions. And sometimes I'll have to say, oh, my teammate would know more about that. Some things I don't know as well as others on the staff at Bibles International. But I'd like to try to share with you in a way that will make it memorable to think about how does this whole process work. So to kind of explain how this particular presentation came into being, I did just update it, so it's a little different than when I first created it. But it came together a couple years ago, actually. One of my coworkers, Kim Hibbert, is one of our consultants who lives in India. And so we've gotten to be friends quite a bit as I just started out. She's really helped me and really been a source of encouragement. And while I was working on deputation, she was helping with some ideas and just of how she connected with the churches. And so actually the original kind of outline for this came from her. And she said, well, this is one of the ways I described to people overall how the process worked. And it was great because she'd really thought through how to share the big picture. And so it was really helpful for me as someone newly coming into it to be able to use that. But then as I was looking at that and thinking of how I might connect that and use that to share with my churches, around that same time, I was actually in India working with some of the languages there and staying at Kim's apartment with her. And there was an opportunity that came up for another language there in India who really wanted to start work on their scripture. And they wanted to have BI's help to do a New Testament. And so they were having meetings about it and discussing whether we would actually adopt and begin this work. But one of the things that came up in the meetings as Kim was talking with the others there is she said, "We understand what we're talking about, but," she said, "I want to know who is going to do this part. And who is going to do this part?" And we realized that it's not just an abstract process. There have to be people there to do it. And so I am only one person, and I don't shoulder a whole translation myself. It's a whole team, and our team is limited. There are people that currently we aren't able to serve because there are more than we could possibly be helping at one time. And God's calling different people to different places. But what I want to do is to explain how does it work? What does it take to get the scripture there? But to make it a little more connected to us and to help all of us to remember more about this ministry is to think of it more in terms of the people. Who does it take? Who is serving to make this happen? What are the different tasks that they are doing? It's good to know what the process is, but someone has to be there to do it. And there have to be many, many somebodies, as you will see. So that's one of the things I want to kind of emphasize a lot in this particular way of sharing the ministry is I'm purposely showing you a lot of faces. I'm going to be talking about the process and what we're doing, but I want to show you a lot of people who are actually doing this. And in one sense, it might be a little bit of an overwhelming number of people you don't know, but that's kind of on purpose. I know you won't remember all of them. But these are people that I get to meet, and their face is special to me, and all of them have some special, unique role in this whole process of getting the scriptures there. And God uses each of them in different ways and different tasks. And so what I'd like to share is more about the people and who they are, and in that context, what they are doing, how it works together, how God uses many different people to do this work. And I hope that's also an encouragement to you, because I think I want you to be connected and to understand what God has called me to do and what my ministry is like. But I'm not operating in a vacuum either. We have a whole team. There's many people it takes to do this work. And sometimes you might not realize other aspects of this ministry, and maybe even other aspects of the ministry where God could be calling someone from here. Maybe you think God is not calling me to linguistics. That's fine. You may be very sure on that. Or God is not calling me to Greek and Hebrew. Very possible. But there are actually a lot of other roles too, and there are things that I didn't realize were going on in missions, things that impact the Word of God of all different types of ministries. So I want to show you many faces of many people and the different roles that they have. And although you won't remember all of the people's names and who they are, some of it will stand out to you. You'll remember some. And I'm hoping that at least I'd like to challenge you, try to remember maybe one person that you've met by way of this presentation. Maybe their job sounds very interesting to you and you think it would be fun. Or maybe it stands out because their job sounds like something you would never, ever want to do, and so you want God to bless them so they will keep doing it. And I think a lot of times on the BI team, we feel that way about even each other's work. We are so grateful for each other because we have very different strengths. And so maybe something will stand out to you as something so unusual, and you're so thankful God put someone there. And it'll remind you of how to pray for them, and just somebody will stand out. And I hope that that helps you to have another perspective on it. So what does it take, and who does it take? So at the beginning of the process, I mean, of course we want everyone everywhere to have a Bible, but we can't just do that and go out and start every language in the world. So how do we figure out where to go? How does Bibles International decide as a team what languages we are or are not going to work on? And so the very beginning of the process, before any translation begins, actually there's a phase of research going on. And so there are some people whose ministry with Bibles International is to help with this research part. You have to know where are the needs that God is calling us to meet. So you have to be aware of the need and also know if God is calling us to partner with these people. And so that's actually a very difficult question, because we obviously want everyone to be helped, and there are needs all over that we might not be aware of. But some people, this is a lot of their ministry, is to do research and studying ahead of time, and to take trips to meet with people and find out more about their needs and understand where do they live, what is their education situation, what would it involve to help them translate the Word of God. So before we even can just jump in, there are some team members that their job is to help us figure out where the languages are that have needs, who we are able to partner with, and to be able to discuss this back and forth before the translation begins. And so several different projects, we call this the projects department. Their job is to research what projects we will or won't do, and they work together with us. So here's Eric, who has served with us for many years. He's officially retired, but you wouldn't know it, so he's still doing just as much work. But you'll notice a couple of our projects personnel are retired or nearing retirement. So this is actually an area of our ministry in missions that is very much in need. It was people who are willing to do this kind of research and meeting with committees and setting things up and logistics, very important part. So Eric is one who would go and to ask questions like, what translation work has already been done? Is there another Bible that's already there? Is this language actually being learned by children, or is it dying out? Do most of the people speak another language? Do only the older people speak the language and the younger people do not? How scattered are the people? Where do they live? Are there any strong churches that are going to partner with us? So many things to try to figure out what is the nature of the need and how would we be able to fit with them. And so he's done that for quite a few years. Joe here, this is Joe with one of our committees in our African projects, the Sara Majingai. And he is leading up the projects right now, doing a wonderful job. I think he would definitely agree that they could use more personnel in the projects department. He's doing a lot of the work there. But doing all of this kind of research and logistics and setting up exactly where BI will be working. So he goes and he meets with people overseas. We also have Dave and Nancy Cropsey. They are continuing to work. I don't know how long they'll work before retirement, but again, they just continue to serve as much as God enables them and are doing a great job helping research, especially projects in Africa. They've got a lot of connections there and are helping to work on that. And so we have a lot of work done, even at the very beginning, before translation starts. People like Eric and Joe and Dave and Nancy, finding out more about the language and the people that are there. But we also, there's an other side to the researchers. Not only the researchers are there, but they are meeting with people that are looking for, are there some churches committed to this? Are there churches there who want the scripture? Because it really isn't enough that I feel like they should have the Bible. We really need there to be some believers there who are going to work on this project, who are going to be the teachers that are there after we're gone. Sometimes it's a resident missionary where there aren't many believers. It sometimes is still a missionary-led church, but many times indigenous churches. And so we want, even after the researchers leave, there to be some solid churches there who are going to support the work and to encourage it after we have finished all of the scripture. So at the very beginning, we meet with churches like this one. This is one of our churches in Togo, supporting a project there. And we want to have meetings with them and to understand what their purpose is, that we can really partner together. So it's not only us that is beginning the process, but also the locals. We enter into some agreements and ministry together. So this is the beginning of the process, is the research phase. But once we've identified a good match where God is calling us, there's a need, and we're able to help, God is sending us, and the researchers have worked together with the churches to try to make sure we understand each other, ready to work together. One obvious person that is the next part of the process is there has to be a translator. You have to have someone who's actually going to write out the words of Scripture. And so the translator is actually chosen by the local churches, and so this is why it's very, very important. We set up that partnership in the beginning. And so they choose someone of good character. Someone is basically like a missionary to their own people that they are going to back and support, that translator. And the translator then works with the BI team and gets training and help for that along the way. But the churches select someone who will be working with us to actually draft out the scripture. And so here are some of the translators that I've worked with over the years and some that are going to be coming up soon. But these are the Zotung translators, Sanboy and Lang Zapum. They finished their New Testament just when I was joining BI. They were finishing, I think, just around 2010 or 2012. And they had a few years break while they were getting that New Testament going and people's interest in that. And now they are getting started on their Old Testament just this year. So they're very excited about that. And I'm excited to get to work with them soon. And I think probably quite a few people here also know Christine Parker, and she'll be working with them quite a bit. So we're excited to see them getting started. It's possible for an individual translator to be doing the work, but we really encourage that there be a translation team. So you can see here there are two men working together. Most of the time it's at least two. Sometimes there's three. A few times projects will divide it up among five people. That takes a lot more communication that way to make sure everyone knows what their job is. But we really encourage them to work in teams of two or more. And so most of the time you will find that there's a group. And here's another great example of a group of excellent translators. Pastor Peter is there on the left. He is Rong Long in India. I've worked with him many, many times. He is such a wonderful person to work with, just so easy to get along with. He often jokes because we send all of our CITs in training to work with them because he's just so patient and kind, and it's difficult to always have the newbie that's there and all the interns coming. But they do such a great job with them, and so I think every intern ever with BI has worked with Pastor Peter. And next to him, though, he is the main translator. And although they don't have several translators for their language group, they, like all of our other languages, have a committee. So another group of people that's required to get involved and to support this translator is what we call a read and review committee. So there's a group of people who always read over whatever the translator has written and make suggestions for improvement about how it sounds, things that seem missing. And so every book that gets written out by the translator, the committee has to read through it together out loud and check it and approve it. And so this committee, they are an excellent committee. They actually meet daily. A lot of the committees, we have to try to push them to meet once a month, but they meet every evening that they can, and they just come together at the church each evening and read whatever passage that Pastor Peter worked on that day. And because of that, because they have such a strong translator and committee working together, they have worked very, very quickly, and their complete Bible is almost ready. They will have some checking to do, but they have it all drafted out, and they're really just waiting for us to come and meet with them and finalize it. So we praise the Lord for that, and this is a very important part that isn't as obvious part of the ministry, but the committee's working together with the translators. We really try to help and support them in that. So here's another one of our read and review committees from Songhai in Mali, as they meet together and support the translators. So yeah, the researchers starting out and identifying the need, then the translators, and with the help of the committee, are actually drafting out scripture. They're writing out the verses, at least a draft of it. But then you also have consultants, and this is the ones that you would be most familiar with that typically are those of us who are come and visit the church and present the ministry. And we are primarily there to help with the training and supporting of the translator and the checking of it. And so the translation consultants, they, at the very beginning of the translator's work, gives them training and helps them to practice translating verses and gives them feedback and assignments and helps them to make sure that they know as a translator what they're doing, and then gives them work to do, and when they return, they check whatever they've worked on in the time in between. So consultants usually meet with each group at least twice a year. If they work really, really fast like the Rong Long, then usually we try to give them three or four times because they just get so far ahead of us. But others, about two times a year. And so in those 6 months in between, they try to get more of a next book of the Bible drafted out for the next assignment. And so the consultant helps to train them. And also, every translation consultant is working with a group. They will check every book that it's translated and literally every verse by verse. So for every passage that is written out for Bible's international projects, after it's been drafted and the committee's looked over it, they meet with someone who knows Greek and Hebrew very well, and they look at every word of every verse, and they try to see if there's anything else that needs to be discussed and find what else needs to be checked. And so that is a long commitment. They spend many hours doing that. They meet many, many times so that every verse of the whole Bible is checked together. And so these are a lot of my coworkers. This isn't the part that I particularly do, but you might recognize some of these faces, but I certainly enjoy working with them on these projects. And so there's Troy and Annabeth, and they're checking with the Sarah Majingai, also in Chad. There's Glenn Kerr, and he's working with our one European project, the Luxembourgish project. Very interesting project, that one. And here is Kim. She works in India, so there I am with her as well. She is one of the consultants who works with, I think, about four different languages in India and maybe two in Myanmar. So she goes back and forth between those ones. And quite a few others. Here's a group of us all at the office together, which happens once a year in August. We all try to get together. So many of us are there. Joel, Alex. I don't think Christine Parker was there that year, so I'm not sure that I have her in that one. But this is the majority of what we think about as the process, is this part of writing out and checking through the verses. And so there are many people involved in that, the translators, the committees, and the translation consultants. But on top of that, there are other consultants as well. And so linguists get involved. And so this is my mentor, Connie, working with those same Zotung translators I showed you before. Sanboy is there. And they are working together on trying to figure out all about the language. And so with the help of the translators and also other speakers of the language, they try to figure out all the rules of the language. What are the sounds? What is the spelling? What is the grammar? Like I mentioned this morning, all those different tedious parts of the work. Kim actually described the work of linguists, which she's describing my job, but she would describe it as like taking apart your computer and then trying to put it back together again. It's a little bit like that. It's like you have a computer or a car or something that you know works and it runs well, but no one's ever described how it works. And so the only way to figure out how it works is to pull it all apart and see what's going on inside of it and explore all of the pieces and try to document it down and kind of make a manual of how does this thing work. And so that's what they're trying to do, is to work together and to figure out how the language works. And so I enjoyed getting to work with that. This is the Mizo group I worked with in India. And this is when I first really understood some of the importance of this part of the process. Because you think that they've worked through the translation. They're well-trained translators supported by their local church. The committee's checked it. The Greek and the Hebrew experts, they look through it. And so at the end, I'm coming in kind of as cleanup to fix the spelling. So I was supposed to be fixing spelling in their New Testament. And so, you know, you don't want the spelling to be wrong, but it doesn't seem like it's a huge part of the process at that point, just cleaning it up. But what this is one of the most interesting ones is we found as we worked at the Mizo that, like I mentioned this morning, they weren't sure where the spaces went sometimes. And so there was, they have something similar to like our English in. It doesn't have the same meaning, but we know in English in can be a word by itself, like inside of something. But in other cases, in can be a prefix that means not, like inadequate. It's totally not the same. They're both in, but completely different. So they have something like this, where when in is totally a word by itself, it means that the subject is plural. It just means lots of people are doing whatever. But they have a totally different one where it attaches. It becomes a prefix to a word. And when it does that, it means to do to each other. They have a special prefix for to each other, which is wonderful. Why we should have that and we don't. But you can imagine in the New Testament how many times are we given instructions of in the church how we should function with each other. What are the things we should do to each other? But because they weren't sure of spelling, the spaces were inconsistent. And so a lot of times they thought, well, we'll put a space and make the words short. But the verses then fall flat. You read it and it sounds like a lot of people serve. A lot of people bear burdens. A lot of people forgive. And the to each other part was getting totally missed. And just because of the spelling, the space. And so this is where the consultants come in and try to help not only to check the Greek and the Hebrew, and so that's one step, and you've seen several faces that do that, but we try to have this step where we try to check the actual spelling and the grammar, because that can create theological error too. And so as we go through the linguists work with the project and try to come up with all the rules and figure out how it will work, and then they check that against Scripture. And they go through and they try to check their whole New Testament or the whole Scripture following the rules like of the writer's handbooks, the grammar books I mentioned this morning. As they discover all these things about their language, more and more of them are saying, let's make a grammar book out of it. And so part of the process is that someone has to take that grammar book down with the Scripture and check it and see, are we using it the way that we said we would? And what actually happens is it tends to create a circle. The linguists tend to get in an endless loop in this part. We try not to make it endless, but when you start to do that, a lot of times what they'll find is a sentence with some kind of grammar we never studied before. And so it's not wrong, but it has nothing to do with anything in the grammar book. So we say, oh, add another page to the grammar book, and we put it in, and we revise it, and it goes back and forth through the whole process. And the idea is that at the end, it would be very clear and checked. It's accurate to the Greek and the Hebrew, but it's accurate to their own language as well. It follows spelling rules that people can recognize. There's also other types of checking that happens. More and more and more checking. At the end of a project, even after all the books have been checked, and the content has been gone over by the Greek and the Hebrew, and we've checked the spelling, more checks still happen. We really try to encourage them to make it of good quality. And so some of the checks that continue to happen is, like in this picture, here is, we call her Aunt Kathy, Kathy Hodgson on the left there. She is checking key terms in Old Testament. And so because the books are verses are translated in small chunks, a little bit at a time, what happens is it becomes interesting when you say, let's look at all of the verses that have the word for sin and see, were we consistent? And there's, I forget how many Greek words for sin and how many Hebrew words for sin. And maybe the way that they're translated wasn't as consistent as we realized. And so they try to check that. And let's look at all the verses that contain the word for faith. Were we consistent in what we did for that word all throughout the Bible? Because it starts to be confusing if the word for faith just seems to change at random, and people wonder if it's the same as these other verses. So trying to keep it consistent is really hard to do book by book by book. So at the end of the process, after they've done all the books, they still have to do these last really big checks. And honestly, this can be maybe some of the most discouraging time for the translators, because they feel like the whole Bible is sitting right there. Why don't we print it? And it can take some time to go through all of these. They're usually very pleased and happy that they can make the corrections, but it's very tedious, very long, and people are getting very anxious for the Word of God. So pray for those people who are doing those checks, because it's necessary, but really a hard time in the project. You just want to keep going and going. And so it takes a lot of patience to do that. And after all of that, our wonderful technology experts are helping with some of the details of the final add-ons. So all kinds of different issues with the fonts and the columns and the footnotes. Do they want maps in the back, table of contents in the front? And many people are involved in this process. Some of you may recognize Nate Babcock there. We actually were interns at the same time. And so Birch was very excited to have his own intern that trip. Usually only Connie had interns. So it was a lot of fun, and Birch got to teach a lot about technology. So this is a current area of need at Bibles International as well. The Champion family are now serving God with another ministry, praising God for that. But we could use more technology help. That's a huge part of the Bible translation process, is getting all of the work that has been translated into a form that can get ready to be published. And there's always issues with computers. There's always something, and there's always ways to improve it as well, but we need people with great computer minds who can come and to do that and to help. It's a wonderful way to serve the Lord, and we were really blessed to have those that God has called to do this work over the years as well. So after all of that, and it's gotten through the checks, the content's all there. That's the big part that we often think about. A few extra pieces in there maybe you haven't thought about, all the people that are involved. But then at the end, we have to have someone who's doing the editing and publishing work. How do we actually finalize, get it printed and out into people's hands? And so here are some people that not all of them are still here with BI, but Leah here on the left was quite a blessing. And this is something we could use more of at BI as well. Her passion was editing. And while she was even still in college, before she'd even graduated, she worked with BI for as many hours as she could, many trips. And she loved to just go through and check entire scriptures for punctuation marks. And God bless her. That's wonderful. Big publishing houses have a staff that does this kind of thing. And for missions work, we need people with a burden to do that. And so technology continues to help to do a lot of that automatically, but it takes still a person, an intelligent person, sitting there to confirm if punctuation is where it belongs, if page numbers and chapter numbers are where they belong. And so she really did excellent work with that. Now, we don't have anyone doing that full-time, but a lot of volunteers help. And so a retired school teacher used to travel with us. She hasn't for a few years, but she would love to just come on trips and check capitalization and punctuation marks. And what a blessing. What a wonderful way to get involved. But a lot of it is dependent on volunteers and the national people to try to do a lot of their own checking. So that's another part that can slow it down. It's wonderful when there are people who can step up and take that role. And then at the end, page layout. Someone has to actually get through and put it onto the pages so that it sits right on the actual margins and all these details that I'm not very good at, so I'm glad we have formatters. Formatting is not my specialty. Don Block is another one who is retired, but you wouldn't know it. He's continuing to work in formatting, and he's done page layout for BI since long time back, before we had nearly the kind of software we did. I think he typed a lot of drafts on typewriters when we first started. He's been through all of it, and how wonderful he's been willing to learn brand new software this last year. And he said, sure, if it's going to help us, I'll learn it. And so he's just jumped right in and learned a whole new system for it. And he continues to be a great help. And James as well, he works still at BI full-time and does as much as he can with that aspect of formatting and some of the technology there as well, trying to get the text ready to send to the printer. And we've been greatly blessed by Alex, is one of our translation consultants. He lives in India. And his wife, Elizabeth, we found out after they had joined and after they moved to the field, she has a lot of expertise as a graphic designer in this. And she's been willing to step up and do a lot of this editorial work and the formatting. And Alex is very good with computers as well. So between the two of them, they came up with a lot of interesting brainstorms to kind of automate some of that process. And so the computer can put most of the scripture on the text, and it only takes a little bit of manual work to fiddle it around. So they've really shortened down that a lot and improved the quality. Elizabeth has a really good eye. If you ever want to know if you switched from one column to two column, how many pages it would save in your Bible, she would know. Like, she just knows, if I do 11-point font or 12-point font, how many hundreds of pages did I just add to this Bible? She knows, and she can tell exactly how it works. And been a great blessing, and that's another area where we need more help, though. She can't format every Bible around the world. And so she's been trying to train a lot of new interns that have been coming, have been working with her and learning how to format so that there's no delay. We don't want there to be a delay in scripture, and we don't want there to be a delay because there's no one there to translate it. But it's frustrating when there's a delay because there's no one there to format it, and it's just that one last step. And so praise the Lord for those he is calling to do that kind of work. We love our editors and our formatters and what an important job they have that probably doesn't get told often enough, but I wanted you to see their faces tonight and to know how important that is. And while all of that is going on as well, we continue to work together with the literacy team. And we don't wait till the very end to figure out if people can read the Bible, but from the very beginning, people like my coworker Hadessa, newest one on our team, is really burdened to help make sure that people are able to read their own language, that teachers are trained, and that they know how to read and to teach others to study the Word of God. And don't forget, like I mentioned this morning, how important it is the local teachers. Here are the Goka teachers again, and they are the ones who do this work year-round. We give them some training, and they continue to do this work, and we are very grateful for them as well. And for Claire, Claire there, also on the left, she is a volunteer, and she has helped all of our literacy work in Chad. She grew up as a missionary kid and knows French, and she's just been willing to, on her own, go and to help them because none of us currently know French. So someone needs to take some time to learn French, but we haven't done that yet, and so she's been filling in and doing wonderful work, just helping teachers to figure out how can we learn how to read and study our Bibles. And these teachers continue on with what they've learned and get people ready to receive the Word of God. Sunday school teachers, local teachers, public school teachers, getting it ready for the final coming of Scripture. And so this is the whole process, and so you've kind of heard my part of it before, but there's a lot to it from beginning all the way to the end, to get it from just an idea of a need to in the hands of people, and people who are reading it, and people who are teaching it. And so here is a summary of not only what does it take, kind of our process of how we work through it, but who? Who have we seen? What faces have we looked at tonight? Well, we've seen our researchers, important parts that not everyone realizes that there's people who just need to assess that and figure out where are the needs and where is God sending us, and very important role. The committed local churches, those national churches who really give, and they even raise money and support their own translator, very important partnership. The translators themselves and them being a missionary to their people and the hard work that they go through, dedicating at least a decade of their lives to this process. And the read and review committee that really, the translator couldn't do it on his own. He needs those who can support him and give him a bit of balance and perspectives of things that he might miss. Direction committee, this is like the sponsorship committee that also helps with that from the local churches. The translation consultants, those who know the Greek and the Hebrew to sit down and check the accuracy. the linguistics consultants who have to figure out if the grammar is causing theological errors, the technology developers who have made so many improvements in the software and to make sure that everything goes smoothly in the processing of the text, and the editors, the formatters, the publishers, all those doing those final steps that are so important and yet can really slow down the work and their dedication to those tedious tasks, and the literacy consultants who are training the teachers, and the literacy teachers themselves who are getting people ready to read the Word of God. And so that's a list of many people who are involved, many faces, and we haven't even given all of them. I could tell you many more. I usually like to, at this point, also mention those in our home office. We have some very dedicated administrative assistants in our office. Becky Holub, one of her tasks is to make sure she keeps track of records of all of our passports and visas and our schedule of upcoming trips and knows when we need to apply for one, when one is expiring. You should see her whiteboard. She has color-coded systems all over trying to make sure that that's kept up with. And many ways to serve. There are many different people involved. And of course, then also there's you. There's the supporting churches here in the U.S. And each of you are part of this as well. Because none of this ministry actually happens without our supporting churches and without those who are praying and giving. And that is part of the ministry as well. And so we really can't express enough thanks for that. And I shared with the Goka people last time we were there, and they're very anxious to work on their writing system so they can begin their New Testament. And I shared with them as I was leaving this last time in April. I told them that we at BI would pray for them. And I told them, there are churches in the U.S., they pray for me, they pray for you too. They don't know all your names, they haven't met you, but we're praying for you. We're your brothers and sisters, and we have a burden for you too. And so I just mentioned that as we were finishing the week, and several of them came to me the next day or two before we left and just said how encouraging that was, because they're a small tribe. They don't have much. They really didn't know that anything would be possible. And so the fact that you pray for them, it is so meaningful. They would become discouraged if they didn't know that there were others who care about them too. So keep praying. I appreciate your prayers for me, but also prayers for all of these faces you've seen. Maybe you picked out one, or an interesting story, or part of the process that you can pray about more clearly now. And maybe you can remember that face or a name and to be praying for that. And we at Bibles International appreciate that. But maybe some of you are thinking about some part of the ministry you didn't know about. And maybe you're even wondering if God would lead you to be involved in that way. And we always want to encourage you to follow the Lord and in whatever he would call you to do. There are many needs and missions, many different opportunities. And these are some of the people that God is calling and working through in our team. And maybe someday one of you would join us as well. So if you had questions or interested in all these different aspects, let us know. And we are always happy for your supports, your prayers, and the part that you play in this ministry.